Well, while we have these problems happening on the U.S. border, we have even more serious problems on the Israeli border. Hamas, which runs Gaza, which is to the southwest of Israel, between Israel and Egypt. It used to belong to Israel. Israel relinquished it, gave it up as a homeland to the Palestinians. They elected Hamas, which called for the destruction of Israel and its constitution, and they have been firing thousands of rockets into Israel since. And of course, the pace of the attacks has increased ever since first the kidnapping and subsequent deaths of three Israeli teenagers in June, and now apparently a retaliatory death of a Palestinian youth. One of the people I love to talk to get what's happening at ground level in Israel is Judy Lash Balint. Judy is a former Seattle resident. I knew her when she was here, but she's been living in Jerusalem since the late 90s and is a reporter for Jewish News Service. That's jns.org if you want to check it out. Jewish News Service. She joins me on Talk Radio 570 KVI this morning. How are you, Judy?
Good morning, John. Well, it's hot here in every sense of the word.
Well, you're about to break some news here on 570 KVI. This has not been reported yet that I'm aware of in the U.S., but you said that apparently Israel is now on a full wartime footing. They've called up 40,000 reserves?
Well, the Security Cabinet voted today to call up the 40,000 reservists. In preparation, really, for a possible ground operation. So yesterday they called up 1,500, which is small. That's in addition to our regular forces, of course, but it's an indication of what's happening. There's already a name for this campaign. It's called Operation Protective Edge, which I think tells you something about, what this is about. And indeed, it is to protect Israelis from the rain of hundreds, just in the last 24 hours, 100 mortars have fallen in southern Israel. Now, it's hard for Americans, and I know it's hard for people in Seattle to conceive of such a thing, but the distances are so small, it's as if somebody in Bellevue, across the lake, that's actually even further, would be firing missiles on Seattle proper, across the lake, basically. We have basically 3.5 million people, civilians, within rocket range. And it's quite frightening, as you can imagine, especially when Hamas issues threats constantly to eliminate the Jewish state, to eliminate the Jewish people. So that's our neighbors. It's not a very friendly neighborhood.
But it's like firing rockets from Bellevue into Seattle.
Well, actually, that's a little bit further than what we're talking about.
Something I've been tempted to do but have never fall into that temptation, Judy. All right, so we are no longer in, we're going to give a measured response to the provocation from Hamas. This is, the gloves have been tossed on the ice, and it's time to rumble. It sounds like Israel is getting ready.
We're more than getting ready. There were many air attacks from Israel today. But I think what needs to be said here is that and I've seen the headlines today in the papers this morning in the American press. I mean, it's being billed as an Israeli attack on the Gaza Strip. I mean, it's the opposite. Israel, until yesterday, Monday. I mean, it's now Tuesday your time also. Okay, so until yesterday, there were attempts by Israel via Egypt. Interesting. Enough to try to come to some modus vivendi with Hamas and to say to push down the escalation. Israel warned Hamas and they warned Islamic Jihad, through Egypt that we're going to respond if these attacks keep up. There's no choice. You're not leaving us a choice in terms of the Israeli mandate to protect its own people, obviously. So it's certainly not out of any wish to be going to war. Nobody in Israel wants to go through this again. The last time we went through this was in November 2012. I even forget what that operation was called. They all have names. That went on for about 2 weeks. I was down south actually for quite a bit of that.
It was just a couple weeks after I visited Israel.
Correct, correct. Exactly, exactly. The same kind of thing, same kind of escalation. You know, they're shooting rockets, and you have to respond in order to protect your citizens. But I think what people don't understand, and I don't expect anybody outside of this region to understand, but why is it important for people in Seattle? Why is it important for Americans to even care about what's going on here? Because we are, as usual, the kind of the canary in the mine, if you will. Hamas, as you mentioned, has taken over the Gaza Strip. They are the in a unity government with the Palestine Authority. They're supposed to be our peace partners. Now here they are gathering weapons. They're threatening Egypt. Egypt is not happy with them either. They're destabilizing the entire Middle East. We have reports, reliable reports, that ISIS, this is the
Islamic State of Syria and Iraq, or Iraq
exactly.
And Syria,
who are the most brutal. And if anybody goes online, you'll see what's going on in Syria. It's unbelievable what's going on in Syria and Iraq. These people, they are followers of ISIS in the Gaza Strip. And the Palestinian Authority themselves last week said that the ISIS people, are responsible for some of the attacks. Now, again, this if Israel doesn't stop this kind of a thing, if you look at a map of the Middle East, you will see that we are the only state that is a non-Islamic state in the Middle East amongst 22 other states surrounding us. All those states surrounding us are having massive, massive problems with Islamic fundamentalism. There's no question that it's spreading to Europe, it's spreading everywhere, and has to be stopped. And this is a way, I mean, Israel is doing its best not only to protect its own citizens, but to try and make a dent in this kind of a thing and to wipe out some of their infrastructure. And that's why the aerial attacks that have been going on up until now, the last couple of days, well, it's actually about a week now, that the aerial attacks have been going on, we've been targeting the tunnels that are bringing supplies into the Gaza Strip, bringing people, bringing terrorists in and out of the Gaza Strip. And this kind
from,
of thing
from Egypt, I should point out.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And all these countries, you know, are being completely destabilized by this. So, you know, again, it's a very difficult situation. Nobody wants to escalate. Israel tried everything. I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu, our prime minister, issued all kinds of warning statements last week. It was carried in the Arabic press. They were trying to secure a ceasefire right up through Monday.
Now, let's a little bit of perspective. The temperatures began to rise, it seemed to me, from way back here in Seattle, Judy. And again, Judy Balint, former Seattle resident, is talking to me from Jerusalem. It seemed to me that it all was touched off by the kidnapping and brutal murders, shootings of three Israeli teenagers who were hitchhiking. And now there's been apparently a retaliatory murder of a Palestinian who was burned to death. The Israelis have arrested six Jewish nationals. I will point out, Israel seemed to be far more interested in finding the culprits responsible for the death of that Palestinian boy than the Palestinians were about finding the person responsible for the deaths of the three Israelis. But again, that's just part of the double standard.
It was a horrible, horrible situation, and I can't describe in the short time we have available what that the kidnapping of those three boys, what that did to the country. Again, you can go online, you can read people's blogs. I mean, it was an amazing, horrible, horrible experience. However, it united people in the sense of trying to realize what we're dealing with, which is Hamas, who perpetrated an act of kidnapping. It was an act of asymmetric warfare. They treat innocence as combatants, basically, and that's what we're dealing with. Unfortunately, this horrendous, it seems, retribution attack on this 16-year-old Arab boy from Jerusalem, and it's a horrific, horrific event, condemned by everybody in Israeli society, was perpetrated by individuals. There is absolutely no evidence that this was part of a larger organization, a movement, nothing. This was on the part of some unfortunately deranged and clearly racist, it appears, from what we know. I mean, they're suspects now. I shouldn't say any more. I mean, they arrested six people who are suspects. But again, they're individuals. This was not part of any kind of a national attempt at revenge. The entire country united in revulsion.
Okay, let me reinforce what you're saying here. It's very important. When the three Jewish kids were kidnapped before they were found dead, the Palestinian Authority president, Abbas, said that he thought what that it was an international crime and he condemned it. However, Hamas, which governs Gaza, they said they wanted to bless the hands of the kidnappers.
Correct. And this goes hand in hand with what we're talking about today's events. Why? This war that we've just, or operation that we're just engaging in now, that you're seeing now. Why? Because, again, this is most important to understand what's going on with Hamas. They are failing sadly. They failed at this kidnapping, okay? The goal of the kidnapping was to kidnap two, and they unfortunately got three, two people who they were going to then hold to ransom. That's their tactic. They would take them to Gaza, take them to Hebron. They were going to hold them in return for what Israel always does, which is the release of Hamas prisoners. Now, these, of course, are prisoners who are murderers in the first place. They're terrorists in the first place who are in Israeli prisons for terror attacks that they've perpetrated in the past. So that's their tactic, okay? They failed because the boys, one of them called the police, and the kidnappers from the car, the kidnappers got nervous and they killed them right away. So they lost their whatever you want to call them, their hostages, if you will. So that was a failed operation. They're failing in the Gaza Strip. They are completely out of money. They haven't paid salaries to their people for months now. So they have to do something. They're also in this unity government with the Palestine Authority, which a lot of the more radical elements are not happy about. So they have to do something that's going to keep their populace, happy, if you will, that they are perpetuating, that they're actually active, and that they're able to do something. And that's why we're seeing these rocket attacks. That's their tactic, to show that, yes, we're strong, we can kill off Israeli civilians, we can ruin life, daily
what
life.
Do you, or, Judy, you know, what do you see happening in the next 3 days?
Well, I'm not a prophet, for sure. And if the past campaigns are anything to go by, Israel, I think, will continue to try and negotiate via Egypt, probably, some kind of ceasefire. We will, as long as they are firing rockets at our people. I mean, we have people in Be'er Sheva, everywhere, in shelters, constantly all day long. There's red alerts all day long. So that as long as that persists, Israel will do what is necessary to try and wipe that out.
Last question.
How much that will accelerate, your guess is as good as mine.
Last question for Judy Balint, again from Jewish News Service. JNS.org is online address. And that is, what is the Israeli take on ISIS, on the Islamic State of Syria and Iraq? Again, it controls vast parts of eastern Syria and western Iraq. It is, as you pointed out, ruled by people who think that Hamas are milquetoast moderates, who think that Al-Qaeda are softies. What is the Israeli take on ISIS?
Well, again, I don't have any inside sources, but the think tanks that I associate with, and I do speak to some experts, I mean, again, this is something of tremendous concern. We're worried about Jordan. Jordan is going to be, unfortunately, probably the next one to go, and it's a great concern. I just want to focus on one other thing just for a second, which is the fact that none of this, I should mention, has disrupted life in Israel, day-to-day life, for the rest of us that are not within range. And also, we're not going to let Hamas dictate our daily life, that's for sure. And that's something, the resoluteness of the Israeli people. I mean, we've gone through all this before. We've gone through this a year and a half ago. Israelis are experienced, we're prepared, we're resolute, we have a terrific home front command. I mean, I think all those things are, Hamas doesn't like to hear that.
No,
and that's
you've got
something
that
I can talk about much more than the
right.
Technical things of this terror group or the other.
And you've got that security wall, which has cut the terrorist attacks in Jerusalem by 99.9%.
Well, about 90, yes, about 90%. I mean, we did have disturbances here this week. Okay. In the wake of this horrible murder, of course, there were disturbances, and that's still going on, and but on a very low-key level. And again, we have phenomenal police work, phenomenal intelligence work, and it's in everybody's interest here. We have a huge amount of tourism. It's the summer tourist season. It's in everybody's interest. In the Old City, we have a lot of Arab merchants.
Okay.
We have...
Judy, it was great catching up again. I appreciate you taking the time. Judy Balint again, reporter for Jewish News Service, JNS.org. We'll check in with you again as this heats up, all right?
Good, Will. Good talking to you, John.
Thank you very much, Judy. It's Judy Balint, former Seattle resident, now in Jerusalem.